Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. Today's guest is Jamison Bangeter, 10 years of career experience, currently a captain on Truck 201 with Lone Peak Fire Department in Utah. Jamison's mindset when it comes to being a firefighter and a company officer is as solid as they come. Remember your why, have an all-in attitude, respect the job, care for the people you work with, and the community you're serving to protect. It's really not a hard formula, but you must have it within you to set the example. With that, I present Mr. Jamison Bangeter.
Jamison Bangeter, captain with Lone Peak Fire, 10 years in the fire service, and how I got into the fire service. So I guess, you know, as a kid, you always look up to the firefighters. You see the big red trucks drive by, and, you know, you want to be a part of it. But my dad was military, so that's kind of the route I was going. I moved to Utah in 2008 from Arizona, and I didn't know what I was going to do. So I was going to college, just taking my generals, and walked down the hallway, and I saw a bulletin board for a fire academy that the university I was going to held. So I called my mom that day, and I'm like, I know what I'm doing. And I went and signed up for the fire academy and got in. I was kind of going down that route, but thinking I was going to go fire, or I mean military eventually. And, you know, I met my wife, and her brother was military, and she's like, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll stick with the fire route. And I was playing rugby at the time. So I was kind of testing the waters after I got my certs. And my buddy hit me up, and he's like, hey, come intern with us and at Lone Peak. And so I went up there, met some of the guys, started interning. It's back, you know, when it was hard to get into the fire service.
Right.
So I got my medic as well during that time. And a guy threw his back out and was out for like 8 months. He had to get some surgery. And the chief came to me. He's like, hey, do you want to be a seasonal firefighter? You know, cover that time. And I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, I'll take that spot. And so during that 8 months, I was working my 4896. And at the end, the chief's like, hey, I went to the city and we got a spot for you. So they pretty much made a spot just for me and been cruising ever since.
It's awesome. Okay. For those that don't know, including myself, can you tell us about Lone Peak size, how many stations, call volume, things of that nature?
Yeah, we're a pretty small department. So we are like the very north end of Utah County, the county which we're in. We cover two cities. We have a station in each city, so Alpine and Highland. And the total population is about 37,000 people. And we cover about 17 square miles. And then on top of that, we're right next to the National Forest. And so we cover up to the summit of what's called American Fork Canyon. So we go on brush fires, accidents, traumas. There's lakes, rivers up there. So we do some of those specialties as well.
Okay. And on a typical day, what's your personnel count at both stations?
So we run 8 full staffed. We have a truck at one station I'm at, and then an engine at the other station, which is an Alpine. And then we run a box out of each station.
Okay. Okay. Is it required to be a medic, or can you come on as an EMT?
Yeah, you can come on as an EMT. Most of us are medics now. We have a STEP program. So, I mean, more money with the more certs you have. Mm-hmm. And, the majority of us are medics, but we are starting to hire more and more EMTs as well.
Okay.
So and we are a career part-time department. So we have most of the shifts are 6 full-time, 2 part-time. Okay. My shift, we are 7 full-time and 1 part-time because our engine boss, we deploy for a while, land is on my shift. And so when he deploys for the summer, we have that extra guy to cover that spot.
Okay.
And what's the staffing like on each apparatus? What's the minimum staffing?
So two on the fire apparatus and then two on the boxes.
Oh, so okay. So your truck is running just you and a driver.
Yeah,
Nobody in the
we're
back.
working on it, but that's it.
Okay.
If we're down a guy, my box will get pulled out of service first, and we'll run three, and then the other station will have two and two.
Okay. And it's probably safe to assume that even though you're running two and two, if a structural box comes in, long peaks first due, the box is going but can act as like they will be firefighters, not medics.
Correct. Yeah, we're one crew.
Okay.
We get kicked out to an automatic or mutual aid. They come with us. So my box will pull out of service. So I'm not arriving on a fire with two because that's not very, practical.
Right.
Our box will go out of service and chase us and act as we'll arrive as four.
Okay. I mean, and yeah, it's not, I'm sure ideal, but you guys are making do with what you have, and that's just how you guys have run it. And I'm assuming that you said you're working on things. Everything's slow. Of course, progress is always slow, but I mean, you're having to make do with what you got.
Yeah, that's what we have, and it works for us right now.
Okay. All right. Do you have a battalion chief on hand, or are you the are you're it, your command?
So I'll arrive and take command until a BC arrives. Well, we have a deputy chief and a chief. We had BCs, we got rid of them and actually got more captains. But even if they So on the weekends they're off, the captains will fill in. So the captains can sign up and be the VC on the weekends or if the chiefs are out of town. And then we're tucked away, like I said, on the north end, and we're touching three departments that are, well, two departments, but three cities that are within a couple miles each way.
Okay.
And so their VCs will also be coming. If we get a fire, we get two chiefs dispatched to it, and one will be ours and one will be mutual aid.
Okay. Okay. And that was going to be my next question. Regarding mutual aid or automatic aid, if a structural box is in your first due, how many other departments are you getting or companies?
So it depends on exactly where it is, but at least two departments, if not more.
Okay.
So we'll get our, if we get a fire, one truck, three engines, a box, usually two boxes, and two BCs.
Okay. All right. I just always like hearing, always like asking questions on how, departments do things. I mean, because the job gets done no matter what.
Hopefully, in Utah, where we're at, it's going to become one department in the future. I mean, that's what I'd like to see. It was all farm country, and every city started their own fire department. And so we're all very close. And like we run a recruit academy, and it's five agencies on the north end of our county that all have an agreement and work together. So we're very
Okay.
close with our surrounding agencies.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Awesome. Next question I have for you. In your opinion, what does the term aggressive mean to you?
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot. I mean, I listen to your podcast, so you ask pretty much everybody. To me, like aggressive can be taken two ways. It can be like a positive thing or a negative thing. I think there's two types of aggression. For me, it's what we do before the fire even comes out, like aggressively train, work out, study, listen to podcasts. Look for new material. Like I'm aggressively looking at bettering myself. So when we do get a fire, it's just the job. Like we're not aggressive on the fire ground. We're aggressive outside the fire ground. When the fire comes out, like we're just going to work. I think about an athlete, like Kobe Bryant. I'm a big basketball guy. And I don't know if you've heard the story of him at the Olympics with the Redeem Team.
No, maybe
So they
not.
were all, I think they were in Vegas before the Olympics actually happened, but they're training. And the whole team goes out at night other than Kobe, right? And they get back at like 5:30 in the morning, and they're walking back into the hotel, and Kobe's walking through the lobby, and they're like, "Where are you going?" He's like, "To the gym, you know, like we got to train." And the next day, I think LeBron was in there, and you know, the next day, more guys, and by the end of the week, the whole team was working out on Kobe's regimen. And I think that's like the definition of aggression, right? Like he's aggressively progressing and working out for, you know, when the actual games happen.
Definitely, definitely. Kobe was definitely a great player, and his mindset, I think, and I think it's not just Kobe, but if you look at all of the greatest athletes regarding, and it doesn't matter what sports, like Derek Jeter, Tom Brady, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, like people, I'm trying to figure out how I can relate this to the fire service. So like, in the fire service, you have your guys that take it seriously, take training seriously, physical fitness seriously, just take the overall what we do a little bit more serious than others. While you have others that'll come in, clock in, or whatever, like they're there. But I like to look at it as, and some people might think I'm weird, but like when I go into work, like I'm there. I'm not there to kill myself for the 24 hours that I work, but I will do some sort of training, like for an hour, read a book, study, listen to a podcast, watch a podcast, you know, on YouTube or whatever the case may be. But like, my mind is, it's like I'm at work, and I get it. There's different levels of into the job, but I don't like how some people have the mindset of like, they're kind of like fly by the seat of their pants. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. If we get a call, yeah, we'll come up with something. You know what I mean? Like, I like to have a game plan in my head already as we're going to that call.
Yeah, I mean, some guys come and they do the minimal, right?
Right.
Like maybe I'm too far on the other side, I don't know, but you know, when I'm home, like I'll wake up in the middle of the night and start jotting down notes about fire, what I want to do with my crew the next day, and maybe that's too much. But for me, like even when I'm not at work, like my mind is, I'm still a fireman, right? And so I'm always trying to progress, and maybe, you know, that's the aggression, right? Like I go to the gym with the mindset, I'm not just working out, I'm working out with a purpose. So on my off days, I go to the gym every day. And it's because when I go to work, I don't want to be the slow man on the totem pole. Like I'm carrying my crew, you know, I want to help them. I want to be an asset to them and to the people I serve.
Definitely, definitely. Okay. Now, have you always been like that coming into the fire service, or was it because you surrounded yourself with dudes that, like, you know what I mean? Like, I always look at, there's so many different guys in the fire service that I take bits and pieces and I try to emulate that. Is that what you did? Is that were you fortunate to have those type of individuals around you?
I think a little bit. I mean, I like to think it's a little bit of my personality. You know, I played high school sports, college sports, and you know, athletes, if you're good, you don't want to lose and you don't like to lose, right? And I've never liked to lose. I've always liked to be the best that I can. And in the fire service, I came in and it was nothing like I thought. Probably just because of a small department and we're still fairly new, you know, 15 years full-time department. So we came from the volunteer side. So by the time I got in, you still had some volunteers that got hired full time, and their mindset was more like come and hang out, right?
Right.
And but I always studied, even when the crew was like watching a movie, I'd be sitting at the table as a new guy, studying and reading, and go out in the bay and you know tie knots and go through the rig. But luckily, some of our part-timers at that time come from bigger departments and I had some great mentors, some chiefs that were part-time with us that still wanted to run calls, captains and things like that, that kind of showed me the way. And through that, my buy-in grew. And, you know, it's not, you learn that's not just a job. So.
Definitely love the answer. Okay. Was it kind of surreal or a little shocking that, you know, I mean, nobody in your family is a fireman, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So you being an athlete, and most athletes, of course, they don't like to lose. Like you said, they want to win. When you came into the fire service, was it kind of like, Like seriously, like when you see a person that's like this dude's a fireman, like for real? I mean, because I want to be truthful because I think sometimes as a department, like as a whole, the fire department, we tend to lie and not really talk about like right now, a lot of ads are putting like a aggressive fire department, a good culture, which is fantastic, but when you have an outsider coming in that's never been in the fire service before and they see like said person is, man, this is how they like, this is what they do on a daily basis, on a shift basis. Like, was it kind of surprising to you?
Yeah, I was actually disappointed. Like, coming out of the fire academy, which most of the instructors come from Salt Lake City, like the big department, they give you the idea of what it's going to be like to be a probie. And I got on and was going to go the military route, So, like, that is very strict and regimented, and physical fitness is huge. So, when I got hired on, I was actually kind of disappointed. I'm like, this is what the fire service is, like a lot of downtime. I remember that first Christmas, like everyone's bringing like pies and treats, and I'm like, I'm just gonna get big, and I don't want to get big, And yeah, it was kind of like a shock that way that some of the guys were firefighters. I mean, I still feel that way. Like we didn't have our physical fitness test to get hired on was the PAC test, which is for wildland, if you know.
Okay.
And that was the only physical test you had to get hired. And now I went to the chiefs and I'm like, can we do a combat challenge? It's more like our structured firefighting. And we implemented that. So our full-time guys are required to do the PAC test because we have to be red card certified and the combat challenge every year. And it just have to push ourselves because I thought it was a joke that you can just pretty much walk and pass your physical fitness test.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. I think a lot of departments are doing great strides regarding like their test to come on or what they do annually. But it's if you like hindsight looking in, man, sometimes it's like we kind of water down our requirements or our training when you can't do that in on an actual call. Like structure fires are hard, like generally, doesn't matter if it's winter weather, summer weather, spring weather, they're hard. There's a lot of things going on. You're putting your body through the motions, you're getting your heart rate up, you got all this equipment. And I just kind of wish like we would like take it more seriously. And like I said, there are departments that are, but there are also a good majority that kind of go, well, we don't want to tax this person. We don't want, you know what I mean? Like they kind of water it down.
Yeah, definitely do. And I mean, it's not just a huge part, right? I just took a fire rescue survey class and they talk about grabs. And everybody's pretty much like the biggest factor for the grabs was my physical fitness. And you may never get a grab in your career or you may get a bunch, right? And how are you going to know? And you should be ready for those. But it's not just like the fire service, like our mental health. I'm going home to our family. Like, I want to be able to play with my kids. I still have little ones. And if, something happens, it's a stressful job and those tones are going off. You're getting up in the middle of the night, lack of sleep. It's very likely that we could have a heart attack, and I was listening to a podcast the other day and they're talking about roof falling in on somebody and his recovery was, 6 to 8 months. And they asked him, like, do you think your physical fitness played a factor in how fast you recovered? And he's like, definitely. If I would have been out of shape, like, I'd probably still be out. It's just, there's so many benefits to it. And I don't think I see that.
Okay. All right. Fast forwarding, we're going to fast forward just a little bit. You get settled, you get established it within your department. At what point or what trips your internal breaker to go like, hey, I think I'm ready to be a captain, or I'm not sure what your steps were, but like, what made you want to become an officer?
Yeah, great question. I don't know if I was quite ready when it came up. I promoted pretty young. I was 4 years in. What I the captain stuff came up, so we got rid of the BCs. Like I said, we had three BCs for each shift, but we were only running three captains, and so we ended up getting rid of the BCs and having six captains and being able to hire more staffing. So it increased our daily staffing. And I originally went to the chief and I'm like, hey, can I just test to get a feel for captain says, I don't want to promote. That's not my intentions. I just want to get a feel for it and start to progress in my career that way and, get the information. And he came back and told me, no, he's not going to let me test. And I'm like, okay, like, that's fine. And I think it actually helped me when the test happened because at that point, like, I'm not getting it right. So my stress tremendously dropped. And he came back to me like 2 weeks later and he's like, yeah, I'm going to let you test. I'm like, okay, awesome. Ultimately, when they offered me the job, I think I took it because I didn't want to work for the other guys who tested. Honestly, like I said, we came from a volunteer department. So some of those guys came that way, and I don't think they were very progressive. They didn't have like the physical fitness, and training wasn't a priority. It was more like a boys' club, right? And so we did hire some captains from outside of our agency, which was awesome. But ultimately I was like, I don't know if I want to work for those guys. So
And no shade towards you, but that's it's a common thing you hear, and it's really unfortunate that like that occurs. And I'm starting to see that myself now. Like, I'm to the point where I even told my wife, like, sitting in the back, being a back step's cool. It's best job in the world. I can pretty much like have free range to do what I want, in a sense. But like, I'm getting to the point where I'm seeing people that are holding rank and somewhat, if you want to say like authority, but they're holding rank. And in my opinion, in my head, they don't deserve it. And I hate to be that blunt, but sometimes there's just some people who don't need to be in the position that they're in because they're doing nothing to better themselves. They're, to me, it's like you're holding up a spot. You're there. Yeah, you earned it through your our testing and what do you call those assessment things or whatever. But like that's it. Like you went for it, you got it. To me, what are you doing with that? What are you doing with that rank that you can help the next generation of people under us? So like, I'm currently around. Like I told my wife, like I'm sitting down. I'm trying to do a chapter or two a day. Luckily, I went to my chief and he was able to break down what you have to study for the next steps. But I totally understand it, but I understand your sentiments, but it's a sad thing when you hear that, you know what I mean? Because it's like we put people in these positions that really don't deserve it, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, no fault to that. Maybe they're great at being in the back seat, right? Maybe they're good at riding the box, but as far as progression and my idea of success, if I'm a captain, right? Like it's grown throughout the years, but I tell my guys like my idea of success is if I help you reach your goals. If your goal is to be a captain one day, what do I do to help you reach that goal? Or if you want to be a chief one day, like, can I help be a stepping stone for you? And it's all about my guys. It's not about me, And that's, I think, the way you have to look at it. It's about my guys and the people we serve. What's the best thing for them?
Definitely, definitely. Okay. So take us through what a normal, what goes through your head as you prepare for shift? Like you said, sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and like write stuff down. So if you have to go to work tomorrow and I'm a firefighter on your crew, like what's your daily game plan usually? And I know everything's dependent on like if you have public events, calls, but normally.
So usually come in and BS with the crew that's going off shift, right? And then I try to roll call. So we have a chalkboard, we'll write seats down where everybody's writing because we don't have dedicated engineers yet. Working on that, like I said, trying to progress. But I'll write down the seats, and I like to give some of the guys who have their ADOA or ADO opportunity to drive as well. And then I write everything out, like what I need done. So training, PT, if we have any business inspections or if we're turning hydrants, things like that on the board. But once checks are done, PT is our first thing. We like to work out early in the morning, especially now that it's summertime, get it cool. And then before we shower, it's usually some kind of fire training, pulling hose out in the yard, you know. Lunch. And then I like to do some medical training or give guys the opportunity to study because we do take a lot of classes, even for a small department. And then, you know, by 3, 4 o'clock, it's downtime. And if the guys want to go train more, when I was on my last crew, we would sometimes train till like 10 o'clock at night. My guys were all about it and they wanted to. So I kind of feel like what my part-timers want to do and my full-timers. So if they're exhausted, I'm not going to push them more. But if my guys are like, hey, like let's go flow some more, go for a run or whatever, we sometimes work till, you know, late at night.
Nice. Okay. Now on the flip side, let's say I just like to hear because I think what hearing what you do could help other current officers or new officers or aspiring officers as well. So let's say I'm a floaty that comes to your crew and I don't want to do PT or I don't really want to do training. Like what do you do for that person to like kind of help encourage, like, no, this is your job for today. We need to get after it.
Yeah, usually, you know, I'll find the appropriate time unless there's an issue that needs to be addressed right then, you know. So if I have a lot of times, like our part-timers will drive because I like my guys. A lot of my full-timers are very new, and so I give them time on the box just to get their medic skills up, you know. And so some of the times the part-time drivers will drive for me, the part-time guys. And I think that's some of the best times to have those conversations. Just be like sitting in the front seat and be like, what's going on? Like, hey, you know, you're a 10-year captain at so and so department. Like, I need you to be example for these guys. I know it's a part-time job, but I'm only going to ask you to do this training, you know, and then just kind of help me out there. Don't complain about it, just do it. And then the rest of the day is yours. And that's kind of how I like to handle it. And they're usually pretty good about it and be like, sorry, you know, I don't mean to complain. Because, you know, that old mentality is like, hey, you don't want to train? Okay, we're going to train all day. And I don't think that works, guys.
Yeah. I remember it's like a form of punishment, you know, and I went through that back in the day. I remember he will remain nameless, but like you pissed him off and he'd be like, okay. And then it's like, if you look at it, bro, you're making us train as punishment. Like what's the benefit to that? Because all that does is create like a training scar of, oh, you know, everyone sees training as punishment when it's really not supposed to be that way. And it's funny how the old school way of how it was, it's just weird.
Yeah, training's supposed to be fun. You
Exactly.
know, hard work, but fun.
Definitely. Definitely. Man, I tell you, kids these days never, they'll never understand, man, because I can vividly remember like, and he would like sit there as we're doing the work and he's just like watching. And I'm like, what is like, what, why are you like this? Like, who hurts you to do this?
Yeah.
That's
It's kind of like that meant the military, you know, like the regimen. I mean, my dad could have been that way sometimes, you know, just try to punish me with stuff that now I do for fun, you know. But it's not supposed to be a negative aspect, it's supposed to be good.
Definitely, definitely. Okay. I definitely love, I want to hear your take on this. The physical fitness, I think it's paramount. It's probably one of the key components to us for us to do our jobs well and efficiently. And I want to get your take on it because, you know, I get it. There are some people who don't like running or don't like weightlifting. So in my opinion, like my thoughts are, do what works for you, but how important is physical fitness, you know, to the fire service in your opinion?
I mean, I think other than probably experience, it's huge, right? Physical fitness helps just not only like being able to do the job and function, but mental health and, you know, like we talked about, kind of coping with injuries and things like that. If you're going to be out more if you're out of shape, if you get injured, rather than those guys who I see are in shape, they get injured, they get back on the job fast, right? To me, it's the second best thing you can do because at least you can work hard. So on the fire ground, other than experience and getting the eyes on the fire, you can still move and move with a purpose and get the work done. So my whole mentality changed with physical fitness probably, I want to say about 2, 2.5 years ago. I was a big, I mean, collegiate athlete, but I hated running. I was 40 pounds heavier than I am right now, but I was not out of shape. I was just big, right? Pulling hose and stuff, I'd still be winded. So I changed diet and changed my workouts, dropped 40 pounds, but now I'm lifting as much, if not more, than I was when I was 40 pounds heavier. And I feel better, like on the fire ground, on the job, just everyday life. I woke up and was like, if I want to hike 20 miles a day, I want to be able to do it, you know? I never want to be that guy, I think I said it, that slows everybody down on the fire ground. I want to be the one that pushes them and helps guys. And, you know, I'm very competitive. And like, if hopefully, if I'm out there in front as the older guy, because like I said, a lot of our guys are like 19, 20 years old, they'll be like, okay, that old guy's freaking beating me. So I'm going to pick it up. I think it was General Patton said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. Oh, so. I think that's huge, and especially in the fire service, because if we're tired and fatigued, just pulling the line at the front door before we even make entry into the house, yeah, we're gonna be scared. We're gonna be like, I don't want to do this.
Okay. Can you talk about some of the stuff that you do? You know, maybe it could help, you know, the listeners out here.
For my physical fitness. I usually hit the gym every day. So I do weights, but I do full body every single day. So I hit my legs, I hit my back, I hit my chest, my major muscle groups. I usually focus on one main muscle, but I hit every single muscle group every day. Usually at the fire station, I'll do circuits. So I usually pick like four workouts and I'll do a ton of reps, usually like 100. And then I pick four new workouts once I hit 100 of each of those. I'm outside running not as much as I want or should be, but you know, I do run a little bit. I'm doing a Spartan race with two of my guys next month. So just anything that like pushes myself, that you know, I try to focus more on like fire ground movements too. So a lot of bear crawls, dummy drags, things like that. Carrying stuff up the stairs, you know, and I try to put myself in uncomfortable situations, stuff that isn't easy. I would always tell my guys, like, they hate legs or something, you know, and I'm like, you got to learn to love what you hate. So if you hate legs, you should do more legs.
I mean, legs, it's foundation of, I mean, without legs, you're gonna struggle, especially if you're in a department or you're in an area that has major high rises, stairs, climbing. I mean, yeah, you gotta embrace that.
Yeah, and I didn't really talk about it in the beginning, but our area is very affluent. It used to be farmland, but a lot of people are moving in with money, right? So a lot of our homes are not your typical, you know, 1500 to 2200 square foot house. We have a house being built in our area that is 48,000 square feet.
Eats.
It's that we have like hotels in our area. So, a structure fire in one of those, I mean, you are going to be working, especially like if you're on search and you have to search that thing, you're going to be working.
Yeah, and definitely that's where the bear crawls come in handy, because or the tripods, because I mean, yeah, I love that you said you hit functional like you do functional workouts, because I think it correlates to what we do. Like there are some people out there that, don't get me wrong, they're jam up, but like what they do, it's kind of like I don't really see how that works with what I do, but I definitely think it's important to do functional type workouts for sure.
Yeah, I think guys are awesome if they're doing something right. But a lot of, especially like our new guys, a lot of them haven't played sports and don't know different workouts and stretches. So even like usually the last half an hour, I'm doing abs and calisthenics stuff. Like I'm getting older, right? And I don't want to have like ankle problems, knee problems, shoulder problems. So I make sure my body can still move and to stretch. Because if I'm humping hose or dragging hose through structure, I got to be able to move and I got to be able to get down low. So that's kind of like my mentality when I'm doing stuff. I'm focused on, hey, this is work.
Now, do you ever do any gear workouts?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit. A lot of times I'll let my guys lift because they like to lift heavy. And then sometimes we'll do a circuit on air.
Okay.
Sometimes it's full gear, sometimes it's just our packs in the air, just getting used to puffing and breathing with our mask on. I think it was last week we did a circuit in the parking lot, and it's like climbing ladders, dragging hose. We have a side by side, so our guys are hooking a rope to that and pulling it through the parking lot and just in full gear and on air. Yeah.
And it's nothing like, it's funny how like, okay, someone like you of your stature or your build and others, when you put the gear on and then you put the air pack on and you breathe air, when you get done with the circuit, it's like you feel like damn, am I that out of shape? But it's the fact of the gear with the limitations, the heat trap, breathing on air instead of breathing like normal air without SCBA, like how all that changes the game pretty much as far as physical fitness.
Yeah, just adding on that stuff. I mean, it makes a world of difference.
And do you have altitude issues where you're at, or no, not really?
We're pretty high up, but I mean, all of us are pretty much acclimated,
Okay.
Like I said, we're right at the base of the mountains. So, some of our calls up the mountain, we're hiking quite far, and
Okay.
yeah.
Okay. All right, gotcha. Do you do any sort of outside training? Do you go to outside? Because I think you do, because you said you did the search class. So, like, how important is outside training in your opinion?
I think it's huge, especially for our department. Like I said, we're small, still fairly new career. So I think that's where a lot of us are going to gain that experience. Our chiefs are awesome. So March Mayhem in Boise area,
Okay.
last year we sent 11. And if you think about that, we have 19 full-time guys that are on the floor, and they sent 11 of us. They just make it happen and let the part-timers pick up shifts. But to me, like, that's where we're gaining that experience. And there's not a lot of those, guys who have been in the fire service for 20 years in Utah County. So for us to get that experience, we go outside and learn from them. And we've brought a lot back to our departments, and our chiefs are willing to take that and be like, yeah, let's implement it. It's pretty awesome to see.
That is awesome. Okay.
I think it's just like a morale boost too, like
Yeah.
you're down and you're like, oh man, I just need something. And if we get an acquired structure or we go to an outside training, you get amped again and you're like, let's go to work.
Yeah. I mean, definitely whenever you hear whatever instructors that are out there like talking the word, spreading like, hey, it's okay to love the job. Like, this is why you're here. And then you surround yourself with other people who have the same type of mindset you do, it's invigorating, and it does like provide a refresher for you.
Yeah. And it's just more guys to, hang out with, talk to, like you said. We have one guy in our department that's now teaching for Ambassadors of the Craft. And, that's cool because then he introduces you to those guys and you get to talk fire. And, it's awesome to see other people's views. And just the networking alone from some of these conferences, I think, is great.
Definitely 100%. What's your favorite go-to training? Like, everybody has something that they like, so what's yours?
I love search. I think that's probably my favorite. I mean, I teach Engine Week at our recruit camp, but search, I mean, that's what the job's about, right? Like serving those people that need us in their worst moments, and being able to rip through a house when it's pitch black and you can't see and it's hot, but just trying to get those people the help they need. I love teaching search.
Okay, definitely. And it was, I remember, I'm pretty sure it was Sean Duffy that said, like, if you think about it, a true search, when you perform a true search, you are tired at the end. You're spent. Because it's not just like, all right, I'm on the ground. And like, it's a lot of work if you want to hit what you're supposed to hit, get your check boxes, like making sure you're actually completing a search. Like, it is very tiresome.
Oh yeah, and I mean most of the time we train like in these fire props and stuff, but there's nothing in them, right? So you can
Right.
put it in like a minute. But
Right.
real life structure that's full. I mean most of the houses that are on fire have a ton of crap in them, right? And it's work to get figure out where you're at and what's what, and I mean it's search is killer.
And with 48,000 square foot homes, I mean, like you might need to bring a search line with you just to kind of keep your bearings on it. That's like entering like a commercial structure. It's crazy.
They are commercial structures, and they're all custom built. So it's not like we can just walk into it and be like, oh, I know the layout of this house. A lot of times, so I'll walk through houses with my crew when they're being built and just be like, let's get an idea. So if we ever do get called to this house, we at least have somewhat of a layout, but they're something else.
Like, I mean, I never had, I don't have the money to do that, but it's like, why would you need? I mean, I guess because you can, but damn. But the average, the average Joe Schmo, like the general public, man, they don't really realize, like, well, what happens if this catches on fire? They just look at it as like, I want a nice big house, I want this, that, and the other. But like, for firemen to break it down, man, you look at different angles, like windows, doors, like that is something.
Yeah. Luckily now that our fire inspector, our chief, he does our, inspections and stuff for the final inspections for these houses. If they're over 10,500, they have to be sprinklers. So,
Oh, okay.
but it's not going to put out the fire there. It's just enough to kind of keep it at bay till we get there.
Right. But that helps. I mean, I know some firemen probably hate to hear that, like, oh, damn, your home sprinkler. But I mean, it gets to a point where you got to have something, some sort of protection.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Okay. I want to kind of hit on leadership real quick. So seeing how you're a company officer, in your opinion, what is leadership? What should leadership look like?
Yeah, so I kind of hit on it earlier, but I think, serving the guys around me, I'm big on that and helping them achieve their goals, what their needs are, whether they think it or not, I want my guys to reach their potential. So sometimes I'll push them harder than they think they need, mostly because I know there's more in them. I'm very big on like the servant leadership style. I read the book The Servant, and it kind of changed my whole attitude of leadership and the idea. So it's all about them, and not to like brag or anything, but when my guys get up promote. Probation or something, or done with paramedic school. I like to do something for them, so I write them all like a letter that they can put in their little keepsake. And when my guys get off probation, I get them a knife and that letter, and kind of talk to them about what it is to be a fireman, and what that is a big deal to get off probation. We should celebrate those wins and things like that. And I try to do those little things throughout their career for them. And it's not just my guys, it's everybody in my department. We're small enough that I know every single person, and it's about doing stuff off duty. I was right before this was supposed to start, one of the guys lives in my neighborhood, he's on duty right now, and he hit me up and he's like, hey, my wife just closed the garage door, or his kid closed the garage door on a bike and it busted, and they couldn't get it shut. So, I'm like, I'll run over there real fast. That's what it's about. It's about, serving them, whether I'm off duty or on duty. I hope my guys know that they could call me at 3 in the morning and I'm going to answer the call and I'll be there for them. And that's what the leadership is.
Definitely. Awesome. Awesome. Have you ever had a desire to go anywhere else, like somewhere bigger, or because it's a question that's always kind of thrown out there. You always wonder, like, at least for me, like sometimes it's like, well, what happened if I stayed in New York? Like, would I be part of FDNY or whatever the case may be? Have you ever had like that thought of, well, damn, Salt Lake City, or are you good where you're at?
Yeah, I mean, I always, especially when I was younger, like I wanted, Chicago, FDNY, a big city. I think it's still in there, I wish that, I always say, like, I wish that I could go somewhere for like a year and then come back and just get that experience, see what it's like. I wish that there was a way for us to do that in the fire service, go test something out and, decide if it's for you. And that's why I kind of hope, that Utah County becomes its own district essentially and becomes a bigger department. I love my department. I love where I'm at. Our chiefs are great. And the benefit is I do have a good relationship with the chiefs and they let us do pretty much whatever we want, right? But I think I'm missing the aspect of being able to run on a big city department, driving through the big tall buildings down the middle of the street. I think there's a part of me that wants that. I don't know if it would so much be in Utah if I did. I think I'd probably go outside the state and if I ever went that route, but I'm a religious guy and it's up to the big man upstairs what I'm doing with my life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. It's just a question I always like to wonder because, there's always a notion in the back of your head, like, what if I were to go here? But I like how you put it. Like if there was some sort of way we could do like a transfer portal. Now, granted, if you did like a transfer portal and you're not like into the job, then I think they can automatically like revoke your transfer portal. But like if it was a way where they can go, okay, who are you? All right, we'll make some calls. They make some calls, references. All right, sure, come on. You do that for a year, then you go back. I mean, I think it would definitely give people a different experience and like where it's one of those things that could possibly show if the grass truly is greener. You know what I mean? Because like that's another topic of people leaving organizations because of like they don't feel fulfilled. And if you don't feel fulfilled, then yes, definitely you got to do what you got to do. But there's always that question of if, like, I wonder what it would be like. So I kind of like that idea.
I think it'd be awesome. We're really good at like patient care because we run a lot of medicals, right? And we are in, like I said, an affluent area. So our patient care on the medical side is awesome. And I think some departments probably need that side of things, And for us, we need like the fire experience more.
Definitely.
And
I
so
100% get
it'd be
you.
an awesome trade.
I 100% get you. I mean, that's real, man. That's real because you have some people that don't want to admit that. Like, I mean, I'm always humble about it. Like my department, we run a lot of medical calls. I don't see very many fire duty. Now, in my years, I've been fortunate to be at certain stations where I'm able to get that, but like we don't burn as much as we would like to. And yes, I think on the EMS side, like our guys do a phenomenal job. Like our EM, the paramedics and medics are supplemented by the county. So we don't do any transport, but we're first responders. And they love when they come to the South End because they know like these guys are jam up, they're great. But where I feel like we are lacking, and this is me being 100% transparent, we are lacking on the fire duty experience. Like, there's a lot of things that I haven't been able to do in my career, and I 100% admit that. And it's not by choice, it's because that's just not what I've been able to get, which is why I go to these outside training and conferences where they can give you that. And it's like, okay, like Now I know what it's like cutting a roof or forcing entry in a window crop that's actually putting out real smoke, not theatrical smoke. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a fireman, but in my head, there are some things it's like I will probably never get to experience that. But just because of that, that doesn't mean I'm not prepping myself for it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's how I feel. Utah in general, I was talking to another captain of another department, and he's got 17 years on, and he's like, yeah, I haven't fought that much fire, and I'm the same way. I've been in 10 years, and it's not, we don't get a lot. We get a lot of mutual aids, but how many of them are really fires? It's like the dryer smoking. I think we had one this morning. Most of my fire training or experience comes from, training. We get acquired structures. We had three last year, and we work them hard. And helping with recruit camp, we got like 36 burns in like a week for the recruits, and that's where a lot of it's coming in. But that's only going to get me so far. So I think going to those outside trainings, that's where I'm going to learn more and learn from guys' mistakes and their wins. I think that's
Definitely.
important. A lot of times we just talk about the wins. I'm like, I want to know about, not to judge you or to criticize you, but I want to know about your losses so I can see, and I can take that knowledge and use it on my fires when we do get them.
Definitely, 100%. Definitely. I agree 100% with you, man. It's not always about the wins. It's about the losses to learn so you don't repeat the same mistakes. So I'm 100% in agreement with you. My last question for you that I always like to ask guests, where do you see yourself down the line? Do you see yourself still on the truck as a captain? Do you see yourself as some sort of battalion chief or hell, like even an administrative chief?
Yeah, it's funny you ask. I mean, I said I had my annual eval yesterday, and I'm sitting down with our deputy chief who does it, and he's talking. He's like, "Oh, you'll be chief one day," and I'm like, I'm a captain for 10 years. I don't want that. I don't want even want to want that right now in my career. Maybe later on when I'm close to my 20. For me, I'm happy where I'm at. And I still get to do the job, and like I said, there's not a lot of fires and not a lot of experience. So as I get those, I want to take those wins. And if I promote too fast, I'm not even going to be an asset to the guys, because what guys can get in 5 years back east in like Chicago, I may not even get in 10 years at Utah. So for me, it's just focusing on going to those outside trainings and bettering myself as a captain for the time being, and maybe down the future, but I don't even want to think about that right now.
He's like, I'm good. Just keep my ass on the truck. Okay. All right. With that being said, and you kind of do get to teach both, what's your preference, engine or truck work?
I would say that, it's truck work, but as I've kind of taken over this role of teaching the engine weeks at the academy, I'd probably go the engine route. Nothing like actually fighting fire. And we're very dynamic, because I could ride first on the truck, but that doesn't mean we're doing truck ops. Like, we're not just the truck. And it's the same if I'm on the engine. Doesn't mean I'm pulling line. If there's victim traps, I might be going search. And so for me, being able to fight the fire and then start searching off a hose line with my crew, I think I'd probably go engine.
Okay. Hey, I always like hearing your opinion. So that's fine. That's fine with me. I didn't ask this question, but I want to before we head out. What kind of schedule do you guys work?
4896.
Have you always worked that schedule?
Yeah, always been
Nice.
on the 4896. I'm pretty sure that's everywhere in Utah, that we run that.
Okay. So
So
that's all you know. You don't know anything else but the
that's all I
4896.
know, but I do love it. I mean, you get 4 days off, and I'm taking this next round off and get 10 days, and we're gonna got an RV, and we're gonna go to Idaho with the family. So it works well for us.
So when you take a tour off, which would be two shifts or 2 days or whatever, because you do 48, you end up having 10 off in a row.
Yeah.
Now,
Pretty nice.
you have no reason to lie. So this is what I want to ask you. How often in your 10 years have you had like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, or like back to back days where it's a holiday that you're working? It's not very many, right? If you stay on the same shift, I'm assuming.
Yeah, so it rotates every year. Like you should hit Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and then you might hit both, but it usually doesn't hit both unless it's a leap year. So I know like
Okay.
A shift last year got they hit it 2 years in a row, which kind of sucked for them.
Right.
But a lot of times, we get those new guys who don't have families yet, and a lot of times they're willing to do trades and pick up. I worked the first 6 Christmases of my career, just because I volunteered because I was new and I thought that's what we do, and I want to give those guys time. I didn't
Right.
have a family, or I had a young family at that time, and to me, giving those guys that have the kids that are going to remember, I think is more important for them. So
Definitely.
not
Okay.
very often that you hit the big holidays every year.
Okay. And the 4 days, it is truly a reset, right? Like when you like at the end of your 4 day, like the day before you're getting ready to go in, you are rejuvenated, you are ready to go, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of us work, like I said, part-time jobs. I worked for another department for 5 years and I had a bid with them. So I worked every, like the C shift, I worked every C1 or whatever. So a lot of guys do that, and we can be busier at some of those part-time departments. A lot of guys do construction on the side, things like that. It gives them the opportunity to do that. But by the time I get back to work, I'm pretty
Ready.
needed.
You're
Yeah.
good. Okay. And the last question on it. If your first shift, let's say your first shift, normally is it do you guys do it where like you try to knock out your busy work and things of that nature? And then the second day is not like a we don't do nothing type day, but it's more of a relaxed-ish type day. And what happens if, like, your first day you get beat up with calls?
Yeah, so it's pretty spread out between both days. Like, if we like our busy work, our secretary or administrative assistant, she's usually pretty good about scheduling that more in the afternoon, like business inspections and tours, because she knows that our training and PT is like a priority for us.
Okay.
So we usually divide it between the 2 days. And if we get hammered day one, which I mean, we usually don't, but I've ran 15 calls from like 7 at night till 7 in the morning at our small department. And those times I'll usually tell my crew like, hey, I don't want to see you till 10 or whatever, we have an expectation that we're up at 7:30 and getting work done at that point, but unless I tell you otherwise.
And I like how you put that because you have the people, the what if, well, what if this and that, but I like how you're genuine and you're like, listen, we don't, the 10 plus calls are very rare, but if that does happen, you being the officer, know that, realize that, and go, hey guys, like to me, it's all common sense, even though sometimes it's not that common. And we do have people that will. Firemen, man, you give them a little bit, they'll try to take a lot more than you're giving them. So I love how you have the common sense of like, if they're busy, they're busy. And I tell them, like, hey, chill out. You know what I'm saying? Because like some chiefs don't want to hear that. Well, no, you can't sleep in. Like it all depends on the day and what you had that night and things that need. Like I said, we're all adults, or hopefully some of us are, but I totally get your notion on it. And I just wanted to ask you.
Yeah, it's just being aware. I mean, being aware of what my guys' needs are, being aware of me, if we get a call, an hour for medical, it's still got to unwind once you get back to the station and lay down on your bed. So, it all depends. And I tell my guys, like, if the chiefs are upset, it's my problem and I'll deal with it. But I just try to be aware of what my guys' needs are.
Okay. And th this is going to be a lot, and I know I keep saying this, but this is going to be a weird last
I'm enjoying
question.
it, so you're good.
A weird last question. When you get a call at night and you get back, are you personally able to go back to sleep pretty quickly? Because I know for me, bro, it takes me like a freaking hour before I can go back to bed.
It just depends, I think, for me. I've kind of I have a sound machine that I'll put on my phone next to my bed, and that has helped me a ton. Like, I don't do it super loud, so I can't hear the tones, but I put it on just enough, and I think that white noise kind of helps me relax and zone out a little bit, and that's kind of helped me. And I think cutting out energy drinks has helped me too.
Which I don't do that, but I have the white noise machine, so I think I'm gonna try that. I really am gonna try that.
Sure, because I think for a long time I had a hard time falling back asleep, and some days I still do, especially depending on the call, you know, but it's helped a ton.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Fantastic. Jameson, man, I thank you seriously for coming on, accepting the invite, not knowing me from Adam, and coming on and talking shop, spreading the good word, man. Like, I truly appreciated it. I love your mindset. I love how, as an officer, you think, you know, your guys and gals are first and foremost. You know, the mission, the community, everything ties together, man. So I just want to say thank you for coming on. Really do.
I appreciate you reaching out and putting me out of my comfort zone. Like I said, I haven't done anything like this before. So I'm all about like trying new things. And, you know, I think you're doing an awesome job with this podcast, and it's fun to listen to. I mean, especially since you reached out, I've listened to, I don't know, 20 to 30 episodes.
Well, I got a lot, man. So yeah, you got plenty that you can listen to for sure. I'm gonna keep going until nobody wants to interview, and then I'm like, all right, I'm checked out. I'm good.
Yeah, hopefully that never happens.
We'll see how it goes, man. But I have definitely enjoyed the ride, enjoyed the people I've been able to talk to. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.